Appreciate that. Well, we are we're going to go back, and I just tell you up front, I'm not going to finish this thought tonight. We began last Sunday dealing with pursuit of spiritual maturity and maturity in Christ, and we dealt with the thought of dealing with personal conflicts. How do we, in a mature way, biblically, deal with personal conflicts? And so we began to look at that last week. We're going to look at it a little bit more tonight, but I do not intend to finish it because I intend to be a little bit more brief than, well, this morning. This morning, I don't know if it felt long to y'all, but it was a good bit longer than I normally go this morning, and I want to try to compensate for that this evening. Amen? You see, Wow. I was waiting for Brother Sonny. I was normally hear him say amen. He got a mint in his mouth. That's why he couldn't say amen. So my wife helped you out. She amened real fast. All right. But yeah. I could sense the thought was there. All right. But if you would, take your Bibles to Matthew 18, and verse number 15 to verse number 22 is our focus. And I'm going to read these, not that many verses to read, but I'm going to read these verses very quickly again, and I'm not going to rebuild on all that we dealt with so far, but we're going to begin to look at the first two of four things that that we can do biblically to deal with personal conflict. And again, this is just, we're dealing with spiritual maturity. We're dealing with understanding how to grow, and this is just one of those areas that is a little more advanced, you might say, in the spiritual growth for a child of God. Typically, a baby Christian or someone, maybe you're not, you know, a person that's not newly saved, but maybe been saved for a while, but just has never gotten off the milk. They're a lifetime baby. Oh, come on now. But y'all know what I'm talking about. There are those who get saved but never grow, and there are those who are brand new to salvation, being a child of God, and they're in the process of growing. This particular area, like many other touchy subjects, is an area that is not an immediate growth section of life. For the child of God. This is something that is a little more advanced, further along, beginning to, now it needs to be learned as early as possible in our Christian walk, but sometimes what it takes to follow this process for a baby Christian can be a bit much to stomach, especially if a person takes a while in their life before they turn to the Lord, and they have a bit of a rough life and a bit of a rough past. The idea of dealing with conflict God's way would almost feel like the sissy's way of doing it. I mean, somebody with a rough past, I'll tell you how to handle it. I'll tell you how to handle it. You make sure that person never opens his mouth again. You just go ahead and break their jaw. I'll take care of everything. I mean, that's just, I've heard guys, look, I've been in prison, okay? I've been to several prisons, and trust me, I've talked to several guys, and that is the mentality. That really is it. Go to juvenile centers. They're young when they start thinking this stuff. But the idea is, you come off the streets, come off of rough backgrounds. I mean, the idea to go and deal with your brother in a way to resolve and restore. Who wants to restore? I just want to shut them up. That's what I want. That's exactly what I run into a lot of times. But for someone coming from a rough background, this is a foreign concept. And it takes some time. The more ingrained that we are to vengeance, justification, my way, the more ingrained that is, the harder it is to accept that I need to learn how to let God use me to do the right thing the right way. And sometimes, we're going to see as we look at the first two things here, The right way actually does not begin with the person who caused the problem. The right way begins with me. The right way is at home first. It's in my realm of the issue. You say, but I didn't do anything. I understand that. But if somebody has wronged me, somebody has done wrong to me, the Lord lays out a biblical process, but it begins, can I just be pretty simple? The process honestly begins with a mirror. I need to make sure I examine myself. I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I'm going to hold off. But let's read these passages of Scripture here, starting in verse number 15 of Matthew 18, down to verse number 22. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." Now, we mentioned that last week. That's not saying to a degree, write them off and, oh, they're just an absolute. What it's saying is you just let them go. Let it go. By the way, sometimes all you can do is let them go and let God take care of it. Because you never know what God can do that we couldn't even get close to doing. And so you just, hey, let it go. Are you going to deal anymore with a heathen person or a publican? Are you going to try to go and push? No, you're going to leave them alone. All right, so do the same thing with this person. You've gone as far as you can go. Time to let God take over by himself. It's no longer anything in your hands that you can do anymore. So verse number 18, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Verse 21, "Then came Peter to him, said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him?" And then he goes up with his, you know, he has the answer to himself. He's asking a rhetorical question for himself, and then he answers it right away, till seven times. I think he really thought, as we said last Sunday, I think he really thought that he asked a good question and gave a good answer before the Lord even got a chance to speak. And then the Lord looks at him, it says, verse number 22, "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." In other words, you do it so much that it's just a habit to forgive. You do it enough to where forgiveness is not something you have to think about. It's just something you do. And you'll find that the harder something is to forgive, if you'll consistently remind, every time Satan brings it up, you have to remind yourself consistently, it's forgiven, it's forgiven, it's forgiven, it's forgiven. And then one day, it's going to come up, and it's not even going to feel like something stabbed you. It's just going to be like, so what? You know, you go from, it comes up, it's forgiven. All right, just remember that. It's forgiven. Comes up. I forgave it. I forgave it. I forgave it. I forgave it. You tell you. Then one day it comes up and it's like, so? Why? Because it became just an automatic habit. Forgiveness had settled the issue. Now, does forgiveness on my part always fix another person's part? No. Because forgiveness on my part is not necessarily for someone else. Forgiveness on my part is for my part. It's for me. It's for my issue. It's for what I'm going to face. Somebody said this, without forgiveness, all you have left is bitterness. And bitterness is nothing more than drinking poison and hoping the other person dies from it. It makes no sense. I'm going to drink the poison and pray that you die. And so when you look at this, forgiveness is allowing ourselves to move on. Not forget, this is not necessarily a lesson on forgiveness, but it takes that in order to get to where we're going. But I've told many, many people this, I believe to be very true. Forgive and forget is a foolish idea. I don't know of a single person who forgave something and truly has totally forgotten about it, other than maybe God. He forgave your sin, and it's, what sin are you talking about? But when it comes to mankind, I don't know of a single person I've ever met, especially if what they went through was very hurtful, very hard. As much as they might forgive, I still haven't met a single person who actually has forgotten. The difference between forgiving and you know, forgetting is simply this. Forgetting would be the ability to not even know it happened. I mean, just by the way, there are sometimes I wonder if it's not the grace of God that He allows some people to get amnesia. I mean, imagine if I've seen similar scenarios to some degree, but imagine if you lived an awful, horrible life, you got saved. God changed you, but you struggled and struggled and struggled with the things you did before you got saved. And then one day you get into an accident, hit your head, and you can't remember anything besides people that come to you, remind you, you know, they talk to you about your salvation, that your Christian environment, but everything from your past just gone. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't that, to a degree, if it was something you struggled, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to have all those memories erased? And all you can remember is what you're doing for God now forward. And I imagine there'd be some gaps and holes and things that would be missed. But ultimately, man does not forget what has happened in their life. But when we forgive, true forgiveness, we're able, and I think Brother Tom Suter preached on some of this a little bit. But when we're able to forgive, the whole of no hope issue, when we're able to forgive, we're able to release it. And instead of it being like a bungee cord, that we're strapped to that bungee cord, and every time something happens, boom, we get pulled and sucked right back to it again. The day you truly forgive, the day that forgiveness actually is able to do the work, you don't ever forget it, but as soon as it comes up, it doesn't bungee you right back to it. It's like, okay, it happened. Okay, moved on. There's a big difference in, I know it happened, moved on. And, right? As soon as pop, and it destroys us again. True forgiveness allows you to sever that tie so it doesn't affect. It might come to memory, but it doesn't destroy. And so this whole thing of dealing with personal conflict in this way biblically is a portion of things that we can do, what God gave us as ways that we can handle some really tough things that have happened with let's just put it this way, it's other people we're talking about. It's our lives of experience with other people. Sometimes those experiences go great. Sometimes those experiences are nightmares that just seem to replay over and over and over again. And forgiveness and resolution, as at least to the best of our ability to resolve, is a process by which God gives us the keys to be able to release us from the destructive nature of memory. The horrible aspect of recalling that which hurt so bad. God gives us the keys to be able to shut off what would destroy when those memories come back up. And how do we do that? Well, we resolve to the best of our ability. But they won't listen to me, preacher. You go through the process. You do the best you can. And once you've done the best you can, you've done everything on your part that you possibly can do biblically. Before God, you can stand clean. Before God, you've done your best. And then God can handle a lot of things. And by the way, may I remind you, there are some things, and just understand, I know there are probably people in here with this crowd, you probably still have some issues with certain people that are unresolved. You might have issues with family, issues with longtime friends, issues with members of a church. Regardless, you might have some things that are still, to a degree, unresolved. May I remind you, that it may never actually in this lifetime ever get resolved if the person that has done the offense never gets right. But that's not something that you and I, if we're on the end of being offended, or we had, as the Bible said, more of thy brother shall trespass against thee. We've been the one been trespassed against. My job is to be right before God and before that person as to how I handle the trespass. My job is not to be right for them and right on their part. That's their job. If I'm right before God and how I've acted and reacted with the situation, I can move forward. And by the way, sometimes it just takes time. And the Lord can do a lot of things that we cannot. But I'm going to stop right there. Let me pray real fast. I'm going to give you two things very, very quickly, and we will be done for tonight. The first two things that we find in this process of resolution, or dealing with, or the seeking of resolution, dealing with personal conflicts in our life as a child of God, to do it God's way. And we'll look at the first two keys to that this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to open up your word. I pray that you would, Lord, just show us a little bit, maybe some things we've already known, some things we've already seen, but again, just some reminders that we all need on a regular basis. This flesh can so easily, Lord, strengthen and rear up on us and become an enemy in the moment that we should actually be seeking resolution. This flesh wants to seek vengeance and Lord, verifying our rights and whatever this that the world would say is the way to handle it. I pray that you'd help us as God's people to be reminded tonight as to the process that you give that is biblical in handling these personal conflicts that we run into each and every day, some small, some large. But I pray that you would, Lord, help us to see it and remember it, that we might follow your word daily. Again, thank you for this time. Do a work in our hearts. Teach us as only you can. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen. As we look at this, the first thing is, I'm just going to give it to you. The first thing is, as we begin to go in, you see in verse number 15, that when you begin to go and seek resolution over personal conflict, the first thing we need to do is check it, all right? When it comes to dealing with personal conflict, the idea of checking it, meaning checking our spirit. Check the spirit behind what I'm doing or what I'm about to do. If we check ourselves to make sure the conflict is not, number one, maybe not of my doing. Hey, has it ever occurred to us that sometimes what I deem what somebody else has done to me was their reaction to something they thought I did to them? And I look and say, well, why would they do that to me? And they look and say, I cannot believe that they would do that to me. All of a sudden, I don't even realize that maybe it's something that I did. You say, but preacher, I don't know of anything that I've done. You know, I have found a very unique thing. There have been several times that I've done something, I had no clue I did it. Come on, husbands, y'all know where I'm going, okay? There have been times I did things in her dreams that I paid for. I'm like, I didn't know I did that. It was really, I dreamt it. I'm like, how can I be held accountable for your dreams? But it's like, you know, I see how it is. But no. But there have been times when I'm like, what'd I do? Now, y'all know she's sitting right there looking at me, so this is getting really bad. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out her face. It's just, I'm just gonna go with it. If I pay for it, y'all find out later, all right? But there've been times, like any husband and wife have, you know, there've been times where I'm like, what's wrong? Y'all know the answer. Nothing. I'm like, don't tell me nothing. I can tell something's wrong. Nothing's wrong. I'm fine. Like, you're not fine. You hadn't talked to me in over 2 hours. We've been sitting right here together. I mean, something ain't right, okay? Something definitely ain't right. I can feel it. It's the force, and it's not the good force either. It's the dark force. But Star Wars comes in. I could hear Darth Vader. But speaking of that, here's a rabbit. All right, I used to have a phone ring. My phone doesn't ring anymore. I keep it on vibrate. Why? Because I've got more ringtones for different people, and I get myself in trouble. I had one for my mother-in-law. The dark side of the forest is trying to contact you. So yeah, but that's just for the fun of it. All right. I don't think she ever heard it though. I don't think she ever let it know. But if she's watching, I'm sorry, Mom. Apologize. But here's the thing. Y'all know the tension, right? I mean, y'all, if husband and wife, or better yet, I mean, even sometimes parents and children, or you're even with family, you can feel tension. You ever been to those family reunions where not everything was all reunited, and you're at the family reunion like, I want to get out of this place. It's about to blow up. And you can tell there is something not right. But I mean, been there, had that. I don't know where I was going with all this. Spirit, yes. Yeah, the right spirit, that's right. The times when you find out that I don't know what I did. You know, I didn't think I did anything. Sometimes, fellas, y'all know, it's not what you did. It's what you didn't do. All right, but here's the thing. We face these, but when we're dealing with other people, you realize it is important. It truly is important to ask ourselves, is there any cause that I personally would have produced? Is there anything? I had this before, in being a missionary, and we've had churches drop us before. That honestly, I was not too happy about, because they sent me a scathing letter letting me have it over different things. And I'm like, everything you just rebuked me over, I've actually been doing these things that you said I'm supposed to be doing. You know, I've done my part. Y'all are the one that haven't been faithfully sending support. I've done everything regardless. And so I could have easily lashed back, but the first thing I do, I contacted them, just let them know. I got this letter. It's the first notice I've gotten. I didn't know anything about this. But I told them up front, my whole thing was, if there's anything, is there something that I've messed up on, something that I did not do, I am sorry. You know, I want to get this right. Now, I could have easily said, who do you think you are? I have been doing everything that I was supposed to do, and y'all can't even send support faithfully, and you want to chew me out. I mean, now my flesh kind of wanted to do that. But the only way that I knew how to personally handle that, because there was a little bit of a conflict there between missionary and supporting church, there was a bit of a conflict there, and I knew the pastor. And so first thing is, you know, I just want to make sure, you know, here's what I've been doing. Is there anything I've been messing up on? Is there something that I've caused with this? Come to find out, in the end, it had nothing to do with us. Everything that we sent was going somewhere. The problem is the person getting it wasn't doing their job. And then later on, they found out, you know, as a matter of fact, two different churches found out there was embezzlement going on, which is why we weren't seeing faithful support. And the church thought we was, and it wasn't the pastor, it was somebody else. And, you know, you just never know. When you approach things with a sense of check it first, check me first, check my involvement first. Lord, here's the mirror. All right, is there anything on my part that maybe, is there something I've done? Is there something that I need to correct? I've gone and have had to do this before. Anybody here ever had to eat humble pie that wasn't necessarily yours to have to eat, but you just chose to eat some of it regardless? Sometimes it just takes that. It's like, you know what? I don't know that I have to apologize whatsoever, but I'm gonna approach this from a standpoint of, I'm sorry. Anything possible? I don't really know. I mean, there's just one issue. I think, maybe, is this what it was? I've had people before say, no, absolutely not. I'm like, I want to say, what is it? Okay, but you approach things the wrong way, and it's like, what do you think you're doing? Well, that's wrong. First thing is, have I done anything to offend? have I done anything? Have I caused anything? Did I produce something that caused you to react? And if I check me first, then I can find out, to start with, is there anything in this conflict that I can fix first off by just taking the blame myself? I'll take the blame. It's my fault. And if I can take the blame, you say, but I shouldn't have to take the blame. Here's the thing. I'm nothing but dirt. I'm, you know, before God, I'm nothing. And honestly, neither are you. We have nothing to brag about. We're flesh. We fail. We cause problems. Sometimes we don't even know we caused it, but we cause some things sometimes. And so since I know I fail, since I know I mess up, and I probably just go ahead and just take, you know, I probably did something. I apologize. Up front, I'm sorry. I'll take the blame. Why? It's a lot easier to take the blame and try to resolve something. And not a sense of false humility. I'm not saying be fake, but just be willing to say, you know what? I'll take fault on this one. I should have this, or I should have that, or I know maybe. You say, but preacher, not every situation allows for that to be a resolution. I understand that. But if you and I go into an issue of personal conflict to resolve it with a true humility of, I'm willing to take the brunt of the hit just to make it right. If that's what it takes to, by the way, diffuse the situation, now I come into a personal conflict where somebody I'm about to talk to about a very sensitive thing that just took place. Now, if I hit them right on with what they did, guess what's going to happen? 90% of the time, wall goes up, defenses, army prepare, fight. Okay. But if I come into a personal conflict and the first thing I do is say, it's my fault. Whatever it is, I don't know how I offended. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I've done possibly to cause it. But if it is my fault, I am sorry. How can we fix our relationship? You say, but that's like a big lump stuck in your throat. How do you swallow that? Really hard. And then you try to stomach it. That's hard. You can ask my wife. I'm not saying to ask my wife, but you could ask my wife. We've gone through our fair share of having to deal with personal conflicts. I've had to deal with folks that I thought were my friends, folks that were partners in the ministry, that turned around and bald-faced lied about me to my church members, which destroyed an opportunity for us to take a next step in ministry because they turned on us just like that. And I didn't have a job. I had resigned the field. I had done a whole bunch of stuff. And that scenario went from, this is where we're headed, this is what God is doing, to, I'm sorry, we're going to have to change course. We can't bring you into this. What now? Well, we had to have some meetings because what was said was not only a lie, it was a scathing mark against my character. And when the truth came out, it came out hard. But here's the thing. We got it resolved. To this day, the individuals who bald-faced lied and then got caught in it and then had to go back and apologize. By the way, once the apologies were made and once everything was set right, do you know the sad part? The damage had already been done. Nothing changed. I have people to this day that still won't trust me because they still believe that what was said was true, even though every bit of evidence on paper and everything else proved just the opposite. It wasn't by word. We had every evidence, just the opposite. But there are people still today that are still affected by that. Now, that hurt. And I could tell you about three or four other stories It just, every single time God was going to take us into an area of ministry, every time, I have had more than enough times where man has gotten involved and literally tried to slam a door shut, barricade it, and keep it from happening. One reason or another, they just didn't like me. Whatever. Now, it's real easy to get bitter at people. It's real easy to get angry at people. But in that one particular case, those individuals could walk in this door today, we'll still give them a hug, and we'll talk to them, and we're friends. Part of that reason is we had a meeting. We sat down and we discussed things. It got kind of heated at one point. But once it was all said and done, there was an acceptance that wrong had been done, but yet at the same time, we didn't go in, I wanted to, but we didn't go in with a, let me show you, no, nothing like that. We went in, honestly, brokenhearted. And it came down to, we just want to know, what is it that we did that ever brought this to a point where you would want to say these things? What is it? Is there something in our past of working together? What happened? There's got to be something there. And it did come out. We got down to the bottom of it. We got down to the bottom of it and come to find out it was a complete misunderstanding of what took place. And for years, that misunderstanding had been harbored as just an irritation. And it resulted in an action that was very destructive. We got all of that settled, and I gained my brother. Now, problems happen. It took 4 years before things ever came back around again to getting where they were supposed to be at that moment. But I understand when I'm talking about personal conflict, trust me, I may not be the most knowledgeable in it, but I understand personally what conflict like this is about and how you can handle it wrong. I've done that before too. But I also seen the results of how it can be handled, what happens, the results when you do it right. If we check ourselves, go very, very, very quickly, very quickly. Colossians 3. I got to be careful because I have so many personal aspects to this kind of stuff that could be helpful. But two things. Number one, it would take too long to go through it all. And the other is I wouldn't want anybody, I won't ever give names and stuff. Why? Because I'm not seeking to have anybody from the past be hurt over things that are now past. So as we look at this, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, we're talking about making sure that this conflict is not of our own doing or that we have made our part of it right at first. We do our best to make things right. If there's anything I've done, Colossians 3, 12 through 14 says this, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This understanding, well, and verse number 14 says, and above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of pertinence. That's the glue that keeps it all together. That charity, that love, abiding love one for another. If I check myself and I look in the mirror and I say, Lord, is there anything that I need to make right? And it might just be the Lord doesn't necessarily give me any specific thing to make right, but I'm going to go into this whole thing. Instead of going in ready for combat, I'm going to go in ready to cut the fuse off the bomb. It's lit. It's burning. My job is to defuse so that we can resolve. Now, may I say also, there are times when no matter what you try, you're not going to defuse. There are times when the individual you might be dealing with, their spirit is so wrong, you can't even attempt to diffuse. Matter of fact, you can't even go in and say, if I've done anything wrong, because all it's going to turn into is, you bet you did! And at that point, By the way, the Bible talks about answer a fool according to his folly or answer not a fool according to his folly over in the book of Proverbs. I'm not going to go into all that now. I think I've taught it before when I taught the auditorium class. It's not a conflict to say answer a fool, and the very next verse says answer not a fool, or whichever way it goes. It's not a conflict of interest. It's not the Bible contradicting itself. It's the Bible teaching you when you answer a fool and when you just keep your mouth shut. It's the wisdom of when to speak up and when it's not worth it. Just walk away. There are times when you can approach personal conflict. The Bible says, if he will not hear thee, well, that's that point where he won't listen. And if he won't hear with two or three witnesses, you go to the church. And if he won't even hear the church, that is somebody so stubborn, so angry, so upset, no matter what you do, you are never going to get through. And that's when you just walk away and say, okay, Lord, this one's yours. I've done everything I can possibly do. There's nothing more I can do. If I check it first, most things can be diffused if I just don't go in, shield up, sword out. But I go in disarmed, ready to defuse. And that might mean I just need to take some blame and just say, you know what? It's probably my fault. How can we make it right? What can I do to give you the opportunity to forgive me? You say, but I didn't do anything. Sometimes I'm not so sure that I haven't. Sometimes I've done things and didn't even realize I did it. Sometimes I said things and didn't realize it was taken one way or the other, and people thought something that wasn't actually true. So I have to make sure I check it first. Have a humble spirit. Last for tonight, let me just give it, controlling it. Controlling my spirit. Controlling in this personal conflict. When I check myself, I can also control myself. At verse number 15, back in the same chapter as you saw there, going to your brother. That is making a controlled decision to go to someone to deal with it properly with the right heart. If I can control myself, listen, I can't control the other person. But if I can't even control me, you might as well throw it out the window. It's never going to happen. So who's the only person I can control? Me. So therefore, when I go into any personal conflict and deal with it, it's my job to check myself. It's my job to control myself and make sure that the purpose behind approaching someone is done with the right heart, the right attitude, and the right process. Controlling yourself is controlled by the principles and steps found in Scripture. We have to, just a couple of things very quickly, and we'll stop for tonight. You got to control your emotions, right? Y'all ever been in a conversation with individuals trying to resolve something, and it got real emotional? Typically, when it gets emotional, it gets very tense. When it gets tense, volcano eruptions typically follow if you're not careful. People say things, do things, and regret things in moments of great emotion. If we control our emotions, we can actually follow the process. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. By the way, that thereby many be defiled, if my emotions go out of control, it's not just me that's affected, it's everybody around me that gets affected in the midst of that situation. So sometimes it's me needing to deal with personal conflict, but instead of dealing with it properly, I let my emotions get the better of me. And not only do I have a bigger issue now with the person that I'm conflicted with, but now many others around have been affected by the fallout over the explosion. We need to learn to control the emotions. To be able to do it properly and follow all this, we have to learn how to control the tongue. We talked about that a little bit. In the midst of conflict, by the way, when you're dealing with personal conflict, you're talking with somebody, there's more than likely going to be something else said that could easily trigger another problem. Undoubtedly, every time we had conflict and we talked with somebody, in the midst of that conversation, while you're trying to resolve things, stupid things get said. And there have been a couple of times when I've been sitting there, I'm like, oh, you want to go there? Okay, there the flesh builds up, and it's like, okay, all right, let's do this.
ding, ding.
Okay. That's, again, to seek to resolve a problem and yet only end up making another one on top of it is suicide spiritually when it comes to our relations with others. So when we control our emotions and we also control our tongue, not only do we keep from saying the wrong things, but we keep from reacting with words to things that are said to us. Matthew 18:15 says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." That, again, that focus right there in verse number 15, that between thee and him alone, we talked about that last week, not spreading around, not gaining people on your side before approaching it. Matter of fact, the people that have the problem are the only two people who can actually resolve and it be finished. Anybody brought into the problem from the outside was not part of the problem originally, and so therefore they have no way of resolving a problem they never were a part of. Which means that they live with the frustration of a problem that if it's resolved, it's never resolved for them. That is the number one struggle when it comes to Facebook. I've said it before, but I absolutely despise when people get on Facebook and they pick up a conversation that they've been having with somebody face-to-face or over the phone, and they get off the phone and they go to Facebook and they pick up in the middle of a discussion and the world begins to jump on their side or jump on this side or that side or start talking about things. And they have no clue about the hour and a half conversation before it started going to Facebook. And so the two individuals might can work things out, but everybody else takes offense on one side or the other, and they don't even know the issue. They think they know. They read into it. Next thing you know, they've got a problem with so-and-so because so-and-so said this, that, and everything else. So-and-so did not say that. You got half the story, and you added your imagination to it. That's what humans do. Our imaginations get us in so much trouble. But if we learn to control the tongue, we don't suck others in. We just deal with it personally. That's personal. It's the whole reason for personal conflict. It's not public conflict. Now, there are things that go public, and by the way, may I put it this way? In the church, something that is done in public should be dealt with publicly. Something that is done in private should be dealt with privately. Unless, of course, it's something that must be known publicly because it is of a nature of that realm. It's needed. But something that is done and said publicly and openly, by the way, if the whole church knows what has happened, the whole church needs to know what's been handled. You say, oh my goodness, but what's that going to do to that person? That individual probably should have thought before they spoke and caused a problem. But if there's an issue between one person and another person, and it's in the church, but it's private, it needs to stay private. It needs to be dealt with privately. It needs to be finished personally, privately, and resolved so as not to drag other people through. Last thing is this. We need to control our involvement as a whole. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." That whole point there is don't believe everything you hear. It sounds awful. Oh my goodness, that's horrible. Oh, I can't believe they did that. Did you hear it from one person? Can anybody collaborate and actually verify that any of that happened? If you are hearing something from one individual and it cannot be proven from other individuals, it's a good chance, really good. I'm not going to say perfect, but it's a good chance it's gossip. And it's not fully accurate. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, "And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." What is all that about? Maybe it's not you that the personal conflict is against. Maybe it's just something you heard. We can do ourselves a favor by controlling our involvement. Somebody says, let me tell you something I've been really struggling with. Hold on a second. Wait. Do I really need to know? Well, let me tell you, I've been really having a hard time with this person because this, whoa! Did you go to them yet? Have you talked with them yet? By the way, here's a surefire way to find out whether somebody actually is seeking resolution and wanting to be right with others, or they're just wanting to share a whole bunch of juicy gossip to get people on their side. Here's the way to handle it. Somebody comes to you and says, by the way, you know what so-and-so did. Whoa, hold on. You're gonna say something so-and-so did, this, that. Tell you what, let's go call them. The moment you say that, you'll get one or two reactions. Oh, no, I don't want to know. You know instantly they're up to no good. If they say, you know, or you're going to get that reaction of, no, I really need to. Oh, then let me help you. I don't need to be in the middle of it, but I'd be more than happy to help make sure that y'all can get whatever it is. I don't need to know, but whatever it is, I'd be more than happy to help set it up, make sure y'all get. I'll pay for y'all's lunch. Y'all go together. I'll take care of that. Y'all go get this resolved. Now that's an involvement that I can get behind. I'm willing to invest to help y'all deal with whatever it is. Just don't tell me. But if somebody's if you say, let's go talk to somebody, and they start fishtailing, you might as well go ahead and turn that boat around and start going the other direction. Because all they're going to do is suck you into a whole bunch of trouble that more than likely is not going to be worth the stink. You can mess with polecat. Y'all know what a polecat is, right? Come on now. It's a skunk. Sorry, Brother Jared. You weren't raised here, all right? It's a skunk. You can go mess with the polecat, but it may not be worth the stink. If we can deal with personal conflict through God's way of telling us how to do it, we'd stay out of a whole bunch of problems. We would actually gain more people than we lose. We would learn what we can and cannot get accomplished, so God knows what, you know, we say, Lord, this is turned over to you. But a lot of times we just keep ourselves out of trouble. And it'd be amazing how much more peace we'd live in on a daily basis. So that's only two. Whew, boy, this stuff's taking forever. But we'll deal with the last two, confront it and correct it. We're going to deal with those, Lord willing, next Sunday and look at some of the final pieces of dealing with personal conflict. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this.